everybody. It's Celine
and TJ,
and we are back for another episode of TJ and Celine Nerd Out to Nerdy Things. How's it going, TJ?
Good, Celine. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Celine, what are we talking about?
Well, I'm glad you asked, TJ.
Thank you.
Yes. Today, we are going to talk about Greek mythology.
Oh.
And how it was very massively portrayed incorrectly in Hercules.
Yes. That's very true.
And how they show Zeus as a caring and loving father who was nothing but faithful to...
Hercules, the Disney movie, is what we're comparing to.
Yes, right? Sorry. Okay. No. Yeah.
No, understood.
Because there are, yes, there's like a billion Hercules movies.
Hera is not actually Hercules' mother.
No.
His mother is a human.
Yes, because he's a demigod.
He's a demigod.
Mm-hmm.
He is. And he does do... That movie, like, is a great movie. Fucking love that movie.
I love Hercules. It's the Disney so Hercules.
That's not the story of Hercules.
The Disney Hercules is romanticized quite a bit.
Yeah. He has to do like 12 trials or something like that to become a god.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite part is that they show Zeus as a caring and loving father.
Zeus was a slut.
Zeus is the reason why we have the STDs we have today.
It's funny because that's like maybe the only movie that Zeus is portrayed as, in like a good light. Mm-hmm. Every other movie about Greek gods, he's a dick. Every single one. I have yet to find one where he's like the same as the Hercules Disney movies.
Mm-hmm.
And even in those, he's kind of a doofus. Like,
I know a lot of people didn't like the remake of Clash of the Titans and its sequel, Wrath of the Titans. I appreciated them for what they were because I love Greek mythology.
I'm trying to remember what happened in Wrath of the Titans. I remember Clash. It's the same guy from Avatar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like when he was super popular at the time.
John Worthington?
Sam Worthington. I was like, wait, that sounds half right. The second one, it had to deal with the labyrinth.
Oh,
and,
I remember.
Like, they had to find the maker of it.
Yes, I vaguely remember that.
Because they had to get something.
He played Perseus, though, right? He played Perseus?
Yeah. Another demigod.
Another demigod, yeah.
Yeah.
Poseidon's spawn.
Mm-hmm. But, anyways, my point with saying that is they portrayed Zeus, I feel like, pretty accurately. Because they show him as not a very nice man. And he was, like, sleeping with multiple women, which is, according to Greek mythology, what he did. I'm like, that's actually a pretty accurate portrayal.
It's funny. Now that we're talking about Greek mythology today, I don't know if our audience knows this, but fun fact, people think that Medusa was punished for sleeping with Poseidon or Zeus. I don't remember. It was one of the big three. Not Hades, because Hades is literally the only Greek god with one love, and it's Persephone.
Yep.
He is the only one written with one love, guys.
Yep.
Which I respect the shit. How does the devil only have one soulmate?
And speaking of him, he's the only one who like did his job and did it well.
And stayed in his lane.
And had his one love.
And
although I think he forced her to love him, but details.
In many a story, she chooses him. And like, it's Greek mythology. They made it up at some point to
right.
Go their way. But like in the first books I ever read, she chose him when her mother didn't want her to, which is why she has to go back for the spring to like get spring ready and then goes back.
Because she's like the goddess of grain or something, isn't she?
Her mom's a goddess of grain. She's a goddess of spring.
Yep.
Demeter is a goddess of grain.
Yep.
She's a goddess of spring, so she has to go back every spring to, like, spring.
Yeah.
He was very faithful, and so was Persephone, which, by the way, a lot of the females were also not. Anyway, back to the story. Poseidon or Zeus actually had relations with Medusa, one of the Gorgons, and in, like, a lot of current Greek texts, aka stories we read, she was punished by Athena. For it. because she was like, you're sleeping with people, you whore. And in a lot of older texts, it was actually a way of, she asked her to, she needed some form of protection from men. So Athena gave her the gift of turning men who look at her to stone.
Oh.
In order to protect herself from being craped.
Because the story I always heard was that Medusa was beautiful, and that to punish her for her husband's cheating, she turned Medusa into a disgusting creature. And
no, apparently Medusa asked. Oh. She no longer wanted. Well, that's obviously, like, there are multiple stories. She right. no longer wanted to be beautiful.
I feel like all the stories, like,
have multiples.
Have multiple origins.
What's your favorite Greek story?
My favorite Greek tragedy is the story of Electra.
Okay, that, yeah.
Which is why she's also my favorite Marvel character, because they follow that story quite well, but they just modernize it, which is why I love that. My favorite Greek hero? I don't really know. Probably Poseidon, because, like, he can control a pretty big, like, the climate.
Literally
the world. Yeah. How about you?
I have two favorite stories. Hades, and obviously I sounded very passionate about the Hades and Persephone story is very, I, like, read a lot of inspired bys about those two. And also Cupid and Psyche. I actually really like that story, too.
Oh.
Cupid, if anyone doesn't know, quick recap, and I'm not, spoilers, but, like, also this has been around for hundreds of centuries.
Not new.
Yeah, like, literally, go fuck yourself.
True.
Our audience loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Wongers. So, Cupid is beautiful and Aphrodite's son, and he falls in love with a girl named Psyche, and she's also, for a human, just absolutely stunning. But he's always been loved because he's beautiful, just like his mom, Aphrodite. And he's like, I want to marry this girl. And his mother's like, fine, deal. If you're going to kidnap her, she can never see you. She can only fall in love with your personality. And everything has, it always has to be in the dark or, like, whatever, you have to be invisible. And if you can make it through, I think, like, 9 months of her not trying to look at you, I'll let you have her. Like, you can be free of me.
Mm.
And you don't have to be a Cupid anymore. Like, you don't have to be one of my minions or whatever. Yeah. So he kidnaps her. She's obviously freaked the fuck out. And they get close.
I mean, already it's so romantic.
I know. And he, the creepiest part is he lays with her at night in the dark, which, like, as a woman, if, like, I was kidnapped and the guy just laid with me, I probably wouldn't sleep for at least a month. I would, like, fall asleep standing up. I'd be like, okay. So he lays with her and she's not allowed to look at him. And she's, like, told that if you look at me, something bad will happen to me and you. So, anyway, fast forward, they've gotten close. It's been 6 months, or close to nine. They've gotten far. They've gotten a friendship.
Yeah.
And she trusts him. He trusts her. And she begs him, please let me see my sisters. And he's like, okay. But you have to promise that this won't stray you from, like, the relationship we've been building. And she's like, okay. So he lets her see her sisters. And her sisters, because she told them, she's like, he doesn't let me see him, and we always have to talk in the dark. Their sisters are like, here, take this candle. Which, unbeknownst to her, was given to the sisters by Aphrodite to test her. So, she lights the... At night, when he falls asleep and thinks she's asleep, she lights the candle and puts it upon his face and sees that he's, like, the most beautiful guy in the world. In my head, it's Chris Hemsworth laying there. Or Dylan O'Brien. Or Jason Momoa. Or Ryan Reynolds. Or Chris Evans. Anyway, it's neither here nor there.
Cool house. Anyways.
So many.
Yes.
Or Mason Kegley. Sorry. I had to add my hubby in.
Yeah.
And sees his face and is, I mean, basically is like, wow, he's gorgeous. And
damn!
Like, yeah, boy.
You fine.
Right. We hit the lotto.
Yep.
And zap. Like, immediately it all twists and whatever, and then she has to go through a bunch of trials to prove her love for him, and in the trials she loses her beauty for a moment because she has to cut her hair off, and, like, she gets basically wrecked. And anyway, they end up together.
I didn't know this story.
That's kind of fun telling that.
I've never, literally never heard of it.
Okay, one of my favorite stories.
Oh.
Read many a retelling.
Yeah. Literally, I didn't know Cupid was part of Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm. Is it Greek or Roman mythology? I messed the two up, but anyway, yeah.
They're very similar.
Yeah, they are the same.
I mean, they are the same, they just have different names.
Yeah, they're the same.
Another story that I really like is the story of Calypso.
That's...
Were you going to say that one?
It's one of my favorites. I actually, like, for a long time committed to naming my future daughter Calypso.
Because I just saw... You'll have to help me remember, but, like, from what I remember, like, she gets banished to an island or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she only gets, like, one night...
A year.
A year to be with the person she loves or something. I think so.
It's Odysseus, I'm pretty sure.
But it's only one night, and then she has to wait a whole another year. Is that right? I'm trying to look it up quickly, but...
I'm trying to look it up, too. Calypso. Calypso. Goddess. Okay. So, in Greek mythology, the daughter of Titan, the Titan Atlas, a nymph of mythical island Ogygia, in Homer's Odyssey. She entertained the Greek hero Odysseus for 7 years, but she could not overcome his longing for home, even by promising him mortality. Because she was banished there.
Yeah. But I remember she... So for those that don't know, I love the Percy Jackson books.
Yes.
Any person, I think any millennial probably does. And I remember Calypso was in the book. And it was just one of my favorite parts because I was like, she has such, it's like such a sad story.
It's very sad, but also she's punished for something.
Yeah.
I forget what it was.
I forget.
She does something, though. But I really dig her name, though.
Yeah. Calypso.
I always think of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Yep. Tia Dalma. Because she was Calypso.
Yeah, she was Calypso. I loved her. She did a really good job, actually.
She did. And it's funny because they made her look so wolf in that movie. She's actually beautiful in real life.
Stunning.
But, and she's not Jamaican.
No.
Even a little bit.
No, but she did a great accent.
Yeah.
She did so good.
Yeah. Anyways.
We're not actually talking about this.
No, we're not. And for those who don't know the story of Electra, really quick, like, basically, her whole family gets murdered. And, like, she ends up, like, seeking revenge and, like, basically becoming a hard ass and getting back at all the people who ruined her life. At least that's the Marvel comic, too. And it's kind of loosely based on the Greek mythology, but I don't know. Just something about the story always stuck with me. I don't know why.
But I love her story, too.
It's just always... That was actually one of the books that I was going to get at the bookstore we went to, but it was like $40. And I was like, yeah, no. Not paying that much for a hardcover. No. Sorry.
But, like, if I was rich, I'd pay a lot for a lot of hardcovers.
If I had oodles and oodles of money, I would go into any small business bookstore and just buy a shit ton of books. Because I know how much it would help them. Yeah. Yeah, just buy a bookstore.
No, I'd like literally buy them out of stock. Yeah. Like a tiny little mom and pop shop, I'd buy them out of stock.
Yeah.
I don't even care what books they are.
Yeah.
In fact, they could resell the ones I don't want.
Right, exactly. 100%. Anyways, so I guess Electra kind of leads us into our conversation.
It actually really does.
What are we here to talk about?
TJ, that's me. Celine, that's you.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. TJ, mm-hmm. What are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about, okay, literally She-Hulk.
First it was fun.
Then it was scary.
And then it was fun again.
Then it was scary, but fun.
But like spooky.
But like in a fun way.
Yeah. What was it?
She-Hulk. This was an episode, wasn't it? It was a doozy.
Episode
8.
Eight, yep. Almost said 9.
What? What was your favorite
part? My favorite part. I actually can't remember what this episode was about. I just remember the character.
So, okay. Remember last episode when we recapped for you guys in the most stunning, gorgeous way about how the dude that she was banging was actually a part of, like, a crime committee hell-bent on killing superheroes?
Yep.
So, remember that. It's important, kind of. Okay, the only important part is that she was looking for somebody to bang. Okay, just remember that. Take that itty-bitty info with you and roll. Also, I think she had a client in this episode. In the newest episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we watched it the day it came out.
Yeah. She, Miss She-Hulk has a client, and he is a, I would say, wannabe superhero.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than a true superhero, right?
Ugh, yeah, I remember now.
The reason that she takes him on as a client is because his super suit malfunctioned. He's called Leapfrog.
Literally, it is exactly how you think.
His catchphrase is rip it or ribbit.
Yep.
Okay, I want that to sink in and hurt you like it hurt me.
It was painful.
His super suit, which will come into play, his super suit that was specially designed for him and his character, because he's not a hero, he's just a regular person, malfunctioned.
Yep.
Wink, wink. And
nudge, nudge.
So She-Hulk is called into the office by her really kind of shitty boss. And he's like, you need to represent him. I don't give a flying fuck. And she realizes that the super suit was made by the one, the only, the fabulous Luke.
Is that the last name?
No.
I don't think so. I think it's just Luke. like Madonna.
Yeah, Luke.
Cher. Just Luke.
Luke.
Yeah.
Actually, it kind of works. And she's like, fuck. Luke makes all of my clothes. And he's like, I really don't care. Maybe just figure it the fuck out. So she goes and she's like, Luke, let's settle, babes. And he's like, no, I don't fuck up. And I'm honestly on his side. I'm like, no, Luke does not.
No.
Luke doesn't mess up. Luke is making a costume outfit for my one true love, Daredevil. And so he's not going to mess that up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're in court and Luke's just sitting there, and they're like, Luke, are you representing himself? And he's like, are you stupid? No. And then all of a sudden the doors, and you just look up and you see a glimmer of red glass. Who was it, TJ?
It was Batman. I'm just kidding.
Bruce. Brucey.
Brucey and Wongers. It was one of my absolute favorite superheroes, considering the fact we were talking about Elektra. Matt Murdock, Daredevil himself. And this is the moment all the fanboys have been waiting for. Now y'all can quit your bitching. Because you got what you wanted. It took 8 episodes to get there, but hell, we made it.
Got there.
Although it wasn't torture for me to get there.
No, I was okay.
I feel like for a lot of people, it was torture to get to this episode.
It wasn't that bad.
And I don't think this show was torturous by any means.
Not at all. No. It was actually very, very easy to watch.
In fact, my mother, who was at one point a huge Marvel fan, has sort of fallen off the wagon after Endgame, after Tony died. She even loves this show. And my mom's kind of a hard... She's a hard woman to please when it comes to television or movies. She never used to be, but...
You could have just left as hard woman to please. Because that's women in general. We are hard.
Yeah. That kind of made me uncomfortable, though, saying that. So,
you missed the last part of my...
What'd you say?
Women are hard to please. And then I said, well, men are just hard.
Twat. Twill.
Let's talk about box sessions. Yeah.
Anyways, Daredevil has finally made his reappearance after a very brief appearance in Spider-Man No Way Home.
Almost felt surreal.
It was a tease. Kind of crazy to think that it was almost a year later, though, until he finally made an appearance again.
Like a real, true.
Yeah.
More than one. I'm a really good lawyer.
Yeah. While that was exciting, they definitely made it seem like he was going to be in the movie more.
Yeah.
Because Daredevil and Spider-Man team up quite a bit in the comic books.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they all do.
I don't think they're far apart from each other, so.
No. Well, Hell's Kitchen and Queens.
Is Queens on the island, though? I feel like that's on the outside the island.
Queens is not in Manhattan, but no. It's like right outside. It's part of the six boroughs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, New York is a matter of trains, basically, to get to one place. It's all subway tunnels underneath.
Yep.
Much like myself.
They go in and out.
Just subway system not being utilized.
Just go in and out.
One ear, out the other. Sometimes crashes into the other ear.
Yes, true. But Daredevil.
Daredevil.
How excited were we?
I just want to replay my words. I made TJ pause because TJ is usually in control of the remote here because you're pretty good about knowing when to stop to talk about something. FYI, if you ever watch anything with us guys, I don't know who would out of any of you, mostly Mason, I think. We're pausers. We're not watch and talkers.
Sometimes. Depends on what's going on.
If it's a quick talk, like it's like, oh my god, did you see that? We won't pause fully. But if we're about to have like a scenario, we're like, boop.
Yeah.
I paused it. TJ paused it. And I was like, I just want you to know that I have a like full-blown dedication to Charlie Cox and like how attractive he is. I am so beyond attracted to him. And it's not even like, he's a good-looking man, but he's not like,
he's not, I mean, your typical Hollywood leading man.
He's handsome. He's right. Just like, he's very classically handsome, I think. Like just like,
yes, he's British.
He's British. Charlie. You could actually, in this episode, once in a while, catch a sliver of his British accent.
Yeah, Celine pointed it out, and I was like, what? And so we rewound it, and I don't remember what he said, but I was like,
kinda.
Yeah.
It was like,
oh, like that kind of slipped through.
Which is kind of cute. I think that's adorable when that happens.
Yeah.
Yes, I've loved Charlie Cox ever since he was cast as. Okay. Ever since the talks happened about Daredevil being made into a show for Netflix back in the day, and they were like, we're going to get Ben Affleck, which I don't hate. I didn't hate him as Daredevil. He wasn't bad.
No.
There could have been worse people, but I didn't want them to bring him back. I wanted, like, someone suited to my age. In Charlie Cox, who is in my age bracket, and he's hot, and he's a very good Matt Murdock.
He is a good Matt Murdock. I did not have the same reaction. I was actually quite irritated that they brought him in to play Matt Murdock.
Really?
Because Matt Murdock's supposed to be huge. Well, to be fair, all the superheroes are supposed to be like freaking huge.
Yeah, that's true.
And he just was like a scrawny little guy. This was before they did like any sort of filming or him training.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not Daredevil. He doesn't look like Daredevil. He's too short to be a Daredevil. I'm like, ugh. And then the first season came out. I was like, okay, kind of lighten up my board. after I saw the first season, the Netflix show, I was sold on Charlie Cox playing Matt Murdock. He
like
really understood the character. Yeah,
I'm so attracted to him.
He really understood the character. You can tell he really did his research. And
he's a huge comic book geek. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, he's like way into comic books.
Yeah.
I think him and Elizabeth Olsen are the only two, like, maybe not only two, but the only two that I know of that have actually read their characters' entire arcs.
Yeah. Some of those arcs are boring, too. But, yeah, I was like, this dude understood the assignment. And, honestly, now I can't see anyone else playing the character. Even Ben Affleck, I'm like...
Mm-mm. He's not my Daredevil anymore.
No. And for the longest time, he was. Yes. Yeah.
So I got really... I was the opposite. I was like, we need somebody younger. We need somebody newer. We need an unknown. Bam, bam, boom. And then they cast him, and I was like... And he was in, like... Was it Stardust?
Stardust, yeah.
He was in Stardust, and I was like... I knew him from that, and I was like, he was so cute in Stardust with his flowy locks, and, like, he's adorable.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, so happy-go-lucky, and I was like, oh, this is the guy from Stardust. And that's where I was like, he played kind of a goober in Stardust. Mm-hmm. So I was like...
He's just kind of a goober.
He is. And then my dad and I watched the first episode, and my dad was like, is he more Daredevil than Ben was? And I was like,
100%. Yes.
Because, like, where Ben Affleck was, like, broody and dark and, like, kind of sad and pathetic and lonely, Charlie Cox's Daredevil is broody and dark and sad and pathetic and lonely, but also very charming.
Yes, which he's supposed to be.
He is. He's also very charming and very funny, has a lot of quips, mm-hmm. which is what he's supposed to be like. He's supposed to be, like, dark humor.
Yeah.
He's one of the darker characters.
Mm-hmm.
That's why... It was, like, all the dark characters got a show, right? Like, it was, like, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage... Then fucking, we're gonna forget about Iron Fist.
And Punisher.
And Punisher, yeah.
Yeah.
I also love John Bernthal as Punisher.
I do too.
Did you see that he's gonna be?
I heard it's a rumor.
He apparently accidentally said that he was.
So did Rosario Dawson. That she said something, and then she had to make a statement the next day. She was like, I don't know anything for sure. She's like, I just got caught up in the moment.
So there's a huge rumor, because Elodie Young won't be in this season. There's a huge rumor that she is, and they found a way around it, and she's going to be in this season. Ooh. Which I'm like, this would have been such a good opportunity to find, like, the perfect Elektra.
She looks the part.
She's not a very good actress, I don't think.
We've talked about this. Yes. That
tough.
It's hard to find tough women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, let me phrase that. There's tough women. It's hard to find women who can act tough well.
On screen.
Yes.
Like, portray it.
Like
we've got so many examples. Scarlett Johansson, Angelina Jolie, even Lupita Nyong'o as Nakia, even... There's Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda. Women who have a presence. You know who also doesn't have a presence, much like Elodie Young? Gemma Chan as Cersei. Like, they're good actresses.
And the chick that played Psylocke in Apocalypse. She was in that
Olivia
movie.
Olivia Munn.
Yeah. Not tough at all. Not tough.
Same with the girl that played Storm in Apocalypse, too, and all those.
Elektra Shipp. No, Alexander Shipp.
Great actress. Elektra. Not a great Storm.
Great actress, just not a very... Storm. She just brought nothing new to the character.
Storm is supposed to be like a powerhouse. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, she's like, whatever.
She walks into a room and she commands it.
From the get, even... She's literally basically like the Wonder Woman.
She's like...
She's a queen.
Right, she's like the Dora Milaje. Like, they walk in, you're like, oh shit, you're that's like, a badass.
You're like, okay. Mm-hmm. So like... She also didn't play tough for me, and this is upsetting to a lot of people, because I've said this amongst people after Dark Phoenix came out. Sophie Turner, I love her as a funny actress. Lately, I've seen her in a lot of things where she plays somebody funny.
Yeah.
She was not my Dark Phoenix, because I don't think she portrays Jean Grey as well as even Famke Janssen did.
I think... So I know we've talked about the Dark Phoenix storyline.
I think we reviewed it.
We reviewed it, but I mean, just the...
we've talked about the storyline.
The X-Men 3 one, though. Yeah. Like I think we talked about it during the Dark Phoenix one. The script just wasn't very good.
I think she could have done well.
For X-3. I don't mind X-3. I like it for what it is. I like the action in it, because it's a lot more action-packed. And I like that Storm has a bigger part. Mm-hmm. She did, I feel like she did a great job with what she was given.
Mm-hmm. Famke Janssen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if they redid the Dark Phoenix storyline and did it well and brought her back to do it, which I still think they totally could because she still looks great, I think she could knock it out of the park because she did a great job.
They could, I mean, like, if they do really want to recast it, I say, no, do a no one.
Right.
Go through 1,000 girls like you've done for, like, Spider-Man. That's how Tom Holland was found. Like Millie Bobby Brown was found for Stranger Things. Go through 1,000 girls and find a fucking Dark Phoenix that nobody knows and cast the other big guns in the movie.
Even someone as young as Millie Bobby Brown, she does badass so well.
She would be a good Dark Phoenix. Sadie Sink would be a good Dark Phoenix.
Yes.
She's even a redhead.
Right. I mean, just...
She plays badass well, too.
She does. It's just...
There's a certain... Je ne sais quoi.
Is it je ne sais quoi?
That you need to have to... like, okay, let me put it... Let me explain it this, because I think sometimes we sound condescending when we talk about this. Well, I think I sound condescending. You always sound kind. There... When you meet somebody, you either are like, oh my god, like, she's so nice... Or you're like, ooh, like, she's kind of scary. And it's really up to you what impression people think of you, right?
Yeah.
So you, and I always tell people, I don't act differently, I act accordingly. So if you're a bitch to me, I'm going to be a bitch right back.
Right.
So like,
you treat people how people treat you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't treat people badly.
No.
I treat them accordingly.
Right. And then get shocked when you treat them the way they treat you.
That's why a lot of people have different things to say about me. They're like, wow, she was really mean to me. And other people are like, she's like a sweet baby angel. And I'm like,
yeah.
That's how I think that, like, acting a tough woman is on screen. You have to, like, exaggerate.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like Mila Jovovich.
Even Kate Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale, Michelle Rodriguez. They just.
Do you know who doesn't portray tough?
Who?
Jessica Alba, Sue Storm.
No, she's too girl next door sweet. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something that you... Even in the male roles, too, though. Like, you just... If you don't believe you're tough, the audience isn't going to believe it.
And it doesn't have to be... Like, people think that it has to be, like Michelle Rodriguez, where you're just like, oh, like, tough. But, like, even, like, Hermione Granger, that's a quiet strength.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you believe her that she's going to do the damn thing.
Right.
Because she believes it.
She also has the confidence, though, that she...
Yes.
You know?
It's 100% pulling your shoulders back.
Yeah. So...
Chin up.
Exactly.
Blessed be.
Under his eye.
May the Lord open. Sorry, we had to do our cultisms.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, we have my sweet baby angel slash future... fourth husband. I don't know what number he is.
I don't know.
Charlie Cox comes in as Matt Murdock. Bam.
And not just come in and bam. Okay. He's also in his comic book almost accurate costume.
We're not there yet, right? We're still in the courtroom. We don't know that he's Daredevil.
Oh, I thought we were at the part. Yeah. No. I didn't say that.
So... Whatever, they do the thing, and he actually, Luke is, like, winning the case because they realize that, what's his fuckface, Ribbit Boy, put jet fuel into a pair of boosters when he should have just been using regular fuel.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's just an idiot. And
basically, the case got thrown out.
Yeah, it got thrown out, and whatever. So then, cut to, they, like, have a drink, and they're, like... They're kind of vibing, and she actually breaks the fourth wall, and she goes, are you guys feeling this too? And I was like, yes! Yes, bitch!
Yep, 100%.
Lean over.
Yep.
And anyway, Matt and her have a drink, and then he has to run. And then she gets a call after he has to run, and it's her client. He's like, fucking, like, help me!
Yep, the leapfrog dude.
Yeah, and she's like, what? No. And he's like, be the Hulk or like, come help me. And she's like, okay. And who does she run into? None other than, now it's your turn.
So the part that I thought we were at. So the guy's like driving into a parking garage and there's someone holding on for dear life on top of the roof. And she's at the top of the parking garage. And she puts her foot down and the car smashes into her leg. And the guy goes flying, does a flip, turns around, and it's freaking Daredevil. And it's brand new Daredevil comic book, almost accurate costume.
Which actually colors-wise, I should say. Very good. I thought it was going to be dumb.
So the original Daredevil costume was yellow and... was it orange? Yellow and red. Mm-hmm. Ugliest ass costume ever. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they chose those two colors. But he even had like this like weird like little skirt thing. It was... it wasn't like a skirt, but it was like...
like a shawl.
It almost like Ms. Marvel's. Like how it like goes down to...
okay, like a tunic almost.
Yeah. It was just ugly as hell.
I like that they make it gold instead of yellow.
Yes. So yeah, he's in his ketchup and mustard Daredevil costume.
Still looks cute.
It looks great though.
Yeah.
I do think they changed the helmet a bit.
I was just looking at it actually.
I think they made it look better.
Yeah.
Because there was always something about the helmet in the show. It just... it always looked like it was like pressed really tight here, but then went up. And this one seems more fitted to his face.
Yeah.
Which is how it's supposed to be. Yeah. He turns around and him and Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk, kind of get into a knockdown drag out.
So then, whatever. She basically wins because she does the Hulk clap.
Yep.
Which is not a disease, but a move. And he, like, falls over and she goes over to him.
The thunderclap.
Yeah. Bam!
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that's what it's called. And she takes off his mask and it's Matt Murdock. And she's like, you're not really blind?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think that too.
Well, he was, like, dodging all of her punches and shit. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, I'm blind. It's just, like, I have really good hearing. And she was like, echolocation? And he was like, kind of.
Yeah.
Not explain, because I'm sure they'll explain it to us again in his show. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys don't know, Daredevil does have a superpower. He basically has sonar.
Mm-hmm.
He can almost still see things. I think the Daredevil movie portrayed that much better than the show did. Like, how he sees, like, sounds mm-hmm. bouncing off of people, you know?
Basically, the sounds bounce off, because everything makes a sound.
Mm-hmm.
And... basically, whatever the sound, like sonar, whatever the sound hits and bounces off of, it creates an image in his head.
He's got the shape down.
Yeah, so he can still, in a way, see. He just can't visually see, if that makes sense.
It's almost like, I assume it's like wearing glasses. He can see shapes. He just can't, see, distinct features, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Makes me want to watch Daredevil now.
I love that movie. I haven't watched it in a while, but...
I love that movie, especially when he's training as a kid and he's, standing on his fucking head.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I saw that movie and I think I was, his age as a kid when he turns into the Daredevil character. And I literally go to my dad and I was like, where do we find a building?
Right.
My dad's like, what are you going to do?
I was
balance on my hands.
I think I was, in seventh grade when Daredevil came out. How old are you in seventh grade? You're what, 12, 13?
Yes, 12, 13.
And I remember watching Daredevil, and I remember when I watched it so many times after the movie came out. The part where Evanescence's Bring Me to Life starts playing, and you see Elektra, you see her lift her arms up and she flips her sides and she starts spinning them around. And then she's does her practicing with the sandbags. And she's stabbing them and flipping. And she flips the side and throws it. Oh my God. That part.
Lights my entire body up.
Lights up my board.
Why don't we watch that movie and review it?
Because we totally should. I love that movie. Especially the director's cut. So good.
It's Daredevil. We should do that. It'd be off the beaten path.
It would.
Coming next is TJ and Slane review Daredevil.
Director's cut.
Cut your dick off.
But yeah, I just remember that part, and I just thought that. I thought that was so cool, and I honestly thought the way she was like twirling and spinning and everything, I thought it was animation.
It's actually her.
And it's literally all her. She said she would practice in her backyard for hours. She said the neighbors would like look by and be like.
Did you ever see the interview where she showed a bunch of her cuts? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, where she had like little tiny cuts all over her hands and arms.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know if it'll scar, but I had to practice. And yeah. I was like.
Because, yeah, the size she gave her. They're not generally sharp.
No.
They actually just usually have a dull tip.
Yeah.
Because it's more of a defense weapon.
Yeah.
And in the movie, they gave hers, they're like almost like little swords.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I remember watching the behind the scenes, and it was just like, I want to learn how to do that. So I learned how to do it. I can still do it. It's super fun.
I can't do the size, but I learned how to flip like a stick.
Yeah.
Because of that movie, like through my fingers and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then I became a flag. So I can still flip like a rod.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that we both did shit like that.
Yeah. I just thought it was so cool. I'm like, I wanted to learn how to do it. So doing the figure eights with the.
You still have your size, don't you?
I have two sets.
Yeah.
And they're from the movie. Well, I mean, not from the movie. But they're
yeah.
replicas.
Yeah. Just like my old Titanic necklace.
Yep. Exactly. It was the exact one from the movie.
Hmm.
Yep.
Heart of the ocean.
Yep.
Heart of my ocean. Me.
Be heart of my ocean any day. That sounded kind of dirty.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Anyways. What did you say?
So that's what she said. You're like, that sounded kind of dirty, and I was like, that's what she said.
I didn't catch that, so. Yeah, no, it.
It was.
They have a rendezvous.
Then and later.
They do a smash and pass.
Ooh. So, yeah, she.
They did their own Hulk smash.
He entered her cave.
Yep.
And he smashed Hulk.
Yep.
Very well and thoroughly, according to her.
And satisfactory.
Mm-hmm. She was brought to completion.
She arrived.
She arrived.
She did.
Yeah, so they. She realizes that he's not the bad guy. She's like, let's fucking help. Saves Luke because he was kidnapped by Ribbit Boy.
There's your superhero, Ribbit Boy.
Ribbit Dick. I don't really know at this point. Leap Dick. Leap Cunt.
Yep.
Gradually, just worse names.
Yeah.
So they save Luke from him because he was kidnapped. Because he was like, Luke, make me a fucking suit. And Luke was like, no. And then he was like, you have to. And then kidnapped him. And they go back to her house and they like fornicate.
Coitus.
And then they coitus. And then they go post coitus. And he does the walk of devil shame. The walk of the devil. Devil shame walk. Anyway, he shamefully walks out in his...
He didn't really seem walk of shame, though.
He was like, walk of proud.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I did it.
He's like, I fucked a Hulk. Yeah. All night long. Say it again. Anyway. So then that's where the episode ends.
Is it where it ended? I think so.
So then she goes, this feels like where the episode ends, right? And then her friend calls and she's like, we're going to the gala. Luke made you a dress.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait. I'm like, I feel like there was like one more part.
So they go to the gala. She looks stunning. Absolutely stunning.
She did. She liked it. It was a beautiful dress.
Yeah. It was like this beautiful dress that Luke made for her. It was silver. And she was up for Female Lawyer of the Year. And her and 12 other women won.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
As they do. And they were on stage, and all of a sudden this video starts playing. And it at first kind of seemed like a joke.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a sex tape of Josh. I told you to remember him, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
In cool. that scene.
Okay.
Josh and her having a liaison of sorts, aka they're having sweet, sweet sex. And
a little bit of an afternoon delight.
Doing their thing. Anyway, it's playing, and she's like, somebody turn it off, somebody turn it off. And then she does what we've said that she's been so good about this whole season. We're like, she's so in control. She's so together. She's never pulled a Hulk. And she Hulks. She smashes the entire, like, 12 TV LED screen that, like, puts together one, like, presentation of a screen and smashes it and starts roaring.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what they wanted her to do.
Basically scaring the audience.
Including her parents.
Because no one had seen her that way before.
She's never been mad.
Mm-mm.
So, she goes outside and all the cops point their guns at her with the lights. All the red dots are on her. And it ends with her looking at, like, around her and just being like, oh shit.
Because no one's ever been scared of her before.
No.
So it goes back to what Bruce said at the beginning. He says something like, once you become that monster, he goes, they will always see you as that monster. And I guess it was foreshadowing about what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It definitely was.
You know, as much as she didn't want to listen to him. She probably should have.
She very much should.
I
always think of that quote from Batman, like, you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I see the Hulk, I don't know why, I just think of that quote.
Yeah, well, because it's true.
Yeah,
because even a different storyline, Hulk becomes Maestro, who he's a future Hulk. It's Bruce, but he, like, gets corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And ends up becoming a bad guy, and it's a very interesting storyline. But yeah, because he no longer was the hero, he was the villain. And honestly, a great way to end the episode, because mm-hmm. it's like, well, shit, now where do we go from here? How does mm-hmm. this end?
Yeah, it's the last episode.
Right. I do know from what I've seen is, what I've officially seen is that there is going to be a rematch between the Abomination and Hulk. So that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how her story's going to end. I mean, obviously this isn't the last time we're going to see her. But how does her show end? What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know.
I really don't know either.
I don't know. They're the only villain, and they've made it a pretty direct villain, is the Intelligentsia. And
which is funny, because they made it seem like it was going to be Titania.
Yeah.
And she's been a very, very small part of the show.
Yeah.
And she's a huge villain in the Hulk universe. But she could come back.
She could come back later. Right. Sorry. Yeah.
I still have questions, though, with how does she have superpowers?
Titania?
Yeah.
I have no clue. They've never, ever.
Because in the very first episode, remember, she crashed through the courtroom.
Yes.
How did she do that? They still haven't talked about it.
And, like, why?
And no one's talking about it.
Like, we don't ever explain it. She just crashes through the, like, courtroom.
She's supposed to be, like, this Instagram influencer.
Yeah.
And no one's talking about how she has superpowers. So, maybe that'll either set up something for the future, or they'll explain that next episode. You know?
A perfect world for me would be, I just want, like, more episodes. I really love this show.
I really do feel, I do too. I do feel like this one, because it's longer, has felt more satisfactory. Even though there's been a couple filler episodes.
But even those are fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just always feel like, oh my god, it's starting. And then it's like, oh my god, it's already over.
So TJ and I do this thing. We're usually kind of, like, doing something, because we both have ADD. During, and then we get locked in, and then we stop doing what we were doing, and we watch a show. But it feels like by the time we're done, like, he's playing his game, usually I'm doing, like, my face routine, it, like, ends.
Yeah.
And we're like,
Right as like it starts getting so good.
Yeah. But it's been really good. It's been a ride.
It's been very good. And it just, it makes me, well, not upset. I didn't write the show. It just irritates me that it just gets so much flack.
Just because it's women.
And yeah, just because it's a woman.
I see this dude on my Facebook. I hope he listens to the podcast. He comments all the time. And he's like, what did they think was going to happen? And shit like that. About, like, people being like, She-Hulk gets bad reviews. And he's like, a female hero. Well, I'm like, okay.
It's still one of Disney's number one rated shows right now.
Look, you small penis.
Or not rated, but yeah.
Like, yeah. You small penis man. Like, dudes need to get a grip. This whole alpha male, like, weirdo bullshit is weird.
Even my brother, because me and my mom were watching it, and he goes, oh, I heard this show got bad reviews. He's like, no one cares about a female superhero. I was like, I wanted to go, okay, clearly you were not brought up the right way then.
It's crazy, because you're brothers.
Right. And it's just so weird to me. I don't know why. It, you know.
It's weird to me that females are, like, why? Why is it weird to have a female superhero? Women literally do the hardest thing ever, which is give birth.
Right.
Nothing takes a pounding like a pussy. Metaphorically and seriously.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to actually say that, and I said it, and I don't know if you saw the regret in my eyes, but I was like, I was like, oh no, I didn't mean to say it like that. I meant like nothing gets beaten up as badly as like women do, like literally and metaphorically.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever. If you're an alpha male who listens to this podcast and you have something to say to me, say it with your chest. Message me.
Yeah.
Let's directly argue. I've been itching for a battle.
Yeah. Word. Yeah, I have no idea how the show's going to end, though. I keep trying to think of, like, oh, I wonder what the cliff... Because there's always a cliffhanger. And I'm like, what could the cliffhanger even be? It could be...
Did you see the theories that Nikki is the actual villain?
Oh.
I've been reading theories, but which... actually kind of holds a little bit of water because of just like certain things she's choreographed to happen.
Mm-hmm. And she knows that her life better than anyone.
Yeah. And that she ends up like being the bad guy. And I know I've read that there's going to be a huge twist.
Because there really hasn't. I will say that is the one thing about this show. There hasn't really been one clear
villain.
Yeah.
But there's somebody pulling the strings, almost. Like, yeah. We just don't know what and who.
Right.
We thought it was going to be Madison. What?
It's Madison.
Madison with a Y and two N's, but not where you think. Honestly, I really do think it's me. Because, look, he said, this demon said that he would reap the souls of all the ones that I love. And I thought that was a little bit dramatic, and I'm not about the drama.
Mm-hmm. And Wongers, are you in court for a speeding ticket? Just tell them you were messaging 911. They can't prosecute. Literally what she says. She's like, that's not how that works.
Anyway, back to the story.
You do her voice so well.
I love it. She's like...
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Like
like Alexis.
I'd say she's like, yeah, Alexis.
But Rose.
Alexis Rose.
But I love when she's like... And like pointing to places, but you're not really sure where she's pointing. Right,
like, who are you pointing at?
You're like, what are you doing? Is this a ballet and I never knew?
I loved when Madison was on and the judge is like, all right, we will reconvene on whatever. Case closed. They're like, it's no. Not. No. Mic drop. Boom.
What did she say? How did she say Succession?
So that wasn't in the show. I thought it was. I must have read it somewhere. But she goes, it must have been like some sort of fan art or fan fiction or whatever. And she was like, Wongers, are we going to get together and have another sex session? He goes, Madison, it's pronounced succession.
Whatever. You don't see my face, but she's always smiling when she talks. And she's like, are you watching the one where he dies? Yeah. I cried so hard.
I cried for 3 days.
I cried for 3 days.
My mom watched her. She goes, well, she's a trashy slut. She probably is, but...
I mean, girlfriend's always drunk and in the nightclub, and not that that makes you a trashy slut. It's not.
No. And even if you are, you do
also,
you.
Also, I love a trashy slut.
Yeah.
Be in your hoism.
Embrace it.
Respect.
I don't have anything more to say.
Okay. Well, I just have one more thing. Okay. It's jack shit.
Oh! I'm like, do you really?
No, I really do. I'm just kidding. I really don't.
Oh, okay,
no,
stop doing that.
I do, actually. I'm kidding.
I will be doing the next episode solo.
All right, one more thing.
Because Celine has...
One more thing.
Has ruined podcasting for me.
I have one last thing.
I don't think she does.
I do. TJ and Celine.
Out!
Bye.
Going
to bed for real. You. Just another player on your game for
a
might be crazy, but it ain't no lie. My name is Madison with two N's. Not where you think.
Word. All right. Bye.